Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. We are approaching Parshas Vayeshev, and we are approaching Chanukah. Very exciting time of year. This evening, we hope to speak about a halachic topic related to Chanukah and the broader theme related to Chanukah, as well as Parshas Vayeshev. And overall, this theme will be related to the concept of being transparent, of being consistent, not faking who you really are. And there's a lot of that, unfortunately, in the world right now. Regarding the world in Gaza, people who may we have thought about as one way and maybe an inner anger or an inner even danger has come to the surface. And there's been a lot of that in the world, people's inner strengths coming out. A lot of Jews who were not necessarily religious that all of a sudden were put to the test have brought out something deeper. So let's learn a little bit about that. The brothers see Yosef, Vayiru Echav, Ki Oto Ahav Avihem. So the brothers understood that Yaakov seemingly favored Yosef after having given him the special coat. They hated him. And they could not speak pleasantly in peace with Yosef. They understood that he was the favored child. They didn't like him. They couldn't even fake it, says Rashi. Out of their negative qualities, we actually learn their praise. Shalodibru achas bepeh, v'achas belev. At least they were honest, says Rashi. They hated Yosef, and they did not pretend to love Yosef. They hated him, and it was very clear that they hated him. And we're going to learn that, ironically, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. Here, Rashi is, quoting Chazal, is saying this is a good thing, that the brothers were not faking their emotions. They clearly hated him, and there was no ambiguity about that. And that, ironically, is a good thing. Wow. So we're going to now come back to that, but first let's talk about Chanukah, and certainly the concept of a window is all about seeing in and not having any form of ambiguity of what's going on inside. You're inside and you're able to look outside, and the people on the outside are able to look on the inside, and you can't fake it. In the same way that the brothers were consistent and transparent. So we'll go back to that theme, but let's learn the original halachos. We'll learn, you know, the classical sources about where to properly light the menorah, and then we'll swing back to some more parshim. Gemar Maseches Shabbos Chaf Alef Amud Beis says Tanur Rabbanan Ner Chanukah Mitzvah LeHanicha Al Pesach Beiso Mibachutz. So the original halacha was to light the menorah where? Outside, by your entrance, by your doorway. Im Hayadar Ba'Aliyah. What if you did not live on the ground floor? Well, then Manicha B'Chalon Hasmucha LeRishus Harabim. So listen, you can't really put it by the door because you don't really have an accessible door. You live in a higher floor. No problem. Put it by the window. Okay, option number three, b'shasa sakana, manicha al shulchano v'dayo. If you are afraid to put it by the window, as like Rashi will say, it could lead to literal danger, or some Rishonim will learn that less dramatically, but if in any case you're afraid to light outside, you cannot light outside for whatever reason, meaning, you know, let's assume the most dramatic reason that you don't want to light outside is because people will literally harm you if they detect your Jewish identity or your mitzvah observance, so then you can light on your shulchan v'dayo. So it's pretty clear from the Gemara that there are three different madrigos. Seemingly you want to light outside. If that's not possible, you light by the window. And if there's a shasa sakana, a time of danger, so then you light by your table, your dining room table. And who sees? No one on the outside. Only you, only your family sees, and that's it. Okay. So Rashi says, why would you light outside? Very simple. Why would you light outside? What's the reason for that? Mishum, persume nisa. Very nice. It happens to be a broader machlokus there. If you have a chatzer, where do you light? In the entrance of your house or at the entrance of the chatzer? And imagine having like a front yard that's very large. Would you think it's more appropriate to light in the front of your front yard, where your front yard meets the public, or at the door? What would make more sense? Where it meets the public, right? So everyone learns that it should be and the beginning of your property, i.e. the end of the courtyard, where your courtyard meets the public, you know, the Rosh Hashanah. But Rashi says by the doorway of your home, right? So everyone, we don't really posture like Rashi, but it happens to be a little bit of a side point. We're not going to dwell on that machlokus. Fascinating machlokus, Rashi and the other Rishonim. However, in the meantime, Tosfos over there in that Gemara is speaking there about the time to light the menorah, and he says, according to the Ri, well, nowadays, ein lachush matay yadlik. We don't really care as much about when we light. De anu ein lanu hekera ela libnei habayis. Who sees our menorah? The people inside the home. So if you were lighting for the people outside of the home, you have to light when people are literally still outside. So if it's too late in the evening and people are no longer outside, you got a problem. And that's why the first opinion in Tosfos, the Ri Porat, said you better light while there's still people outside. If you delay, you might miss the opportunity to make a bracha because we are lighting for the people outside. But then the Ri in Tosfos responds and says, no, we light for the people inside, and therefore that will certainly open up a major halachic leniency that you can light indoors as late as you need, because we don't really care if there are people outside anymore. What do you think nowadays? Does it matter or not? Nowadays, are we lighting for the people outside or inside? What do you think? Mostly inside. Does anyone here light mamish indoors, not by the window? Anyone light by the window? Who here grew up in a home like that? Oh, now it's interesting. On Shabbos, we were talking a little bit about that. And we were trying to figure out if it was related to whether or not one's parents were Holocaust survivors. Because people who grew up as survivors were afraid by nature to light by the window. And someone in the Shiur on Shabbos said that they grew up in a home where they lit by the window. And I said, where were your parents from? And they said, America. They were not European. Fascinating. Yeah, A.B.
There's a famous picture from the 1930s.
In Germany, yeah, with the Nazi flag in the background. Yeah, lighting in the window. Yeah, yeah. No problem. Yeah, whatever. You were in Munich right before COVID. Wow, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Oh, very nice. Wow.
So this man, every year, is the Bar Rabbi of Munich, lights his kind of in his window, shining
on Hitler's house. The Chabad Rabbi of Munich lights the menorah across from Hitler's house. I light across from the, fellow Jew here. Morty Strauss's. Yeah, he's a great guy, we say Kiddush Levana together during COVID, whatever. Okay. So I can't top the commissioner's stories. Wow, that was pretty cool. Excellent, Howard. Thank you for sharing that. That's pretty amazing. So nowadays, it's a funny thing, right? Like, on one level, we really light for the people inside, but we're still lighting for the people outside also, because we're in this awkward window land, right? What about in Israel? What would you say? Where they light?
Israel,
everyone lights outside. Come out, everybody.
Mark Rick said this morning that in America, we should not light outside according to Robert Miller or something.
Yeah, in America, does anyone know anyone who lights outside in America?
Jay Hirschhorn.
So people on Second Street, which really has the status of Eretz Yisrael,
I think Lenny Gomes.
So people who live in Second Street.
Because everyone's
Second Street. Right, i.e., Shchunat 2,
It was called the ghetto before you.
Okay, I would call it a shtetl, slightly, more bright version of European history there. That being said, we don't generally light outside in America. And it's fascinating because the halacha really wants to know, well, based on why you're lighting, it obviously will affect where you're lighting. And Tosfos is saying, well, since we light indoors, for the people indoors, we don't really need to light so early anymore. So does that still hold true? So one more Gemara, Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah mitzvah la'anicha betefach hasamach lepesach. So the real mitzvah was to light by your doorway, within the entranceway. And there's a machlokis on the right side or on the left side, and the Gemara paskins on the left side, like the opinion of Shmuel Midifti, because you want the Ner Chanukah on the left, opposite the mezuzah on the right. Okay, so the factors that go into the location of where you light the Hanukkah candles really all are about the doorway. And the Rambam says, you light it by your doors. Where you light it? On the left side, opposite the mezuzah. Okay, if you don't live on the ground level, then you light by the window. Seems like, okay, that's the ideal situation if you're not on the ground level. And then in the next halacha, he writes, and if it's very dangerous, then you light, and only then you light it indoors. And the Shulchan Aruch is very, very, very similar to the Rambam, where these three tiers, ideally light outside by the public view. And if you don't live down on the ground floor, you light by the window. And if you can't, because if it's dangerous that you're not able to do the mitzvah properly, then and only then do you what? Put it inside. So the question would be, logically, where would you light menorah nowadays based on all of this logic? So I would have said, well, ideally light outdoors, like the way they do it in Israel. And if you're saying it's too dangerous, then what should you do? Light where? Like indoors, like literally indoors, like on your dining room table, completely away from the window. Meaning the window in halacha equals outdoors. The only reason you would light by the window is because you don't live on the ground level. But from the perspective of the Gemara and the halacha, it would appear that outdoors is ideal. If you can't light outdoors, a window equals outdoors, great. But if you can't light by the window or outdoors because it's dangerous, then you light indoors away from the window. So what we do in our generation is a little bit funny, where we can't commit fully to outdoors, but we are not afraid of any sakana, but we light by the window. It's a funny thing.
Is it weather-related? Oh. It's cold?
Yes. Very good. So the Arvi Shurin, like the Ritva, will say, the reason you don't have to light outdoors is if there's like a strong wind. So based on the year, you know, again, you're going to say like in the same way that on Sukkot. So sometimes you're in the Sukkot, sometimes you're out of the Sukkot based on the weather. So imagine having a similar setup by Hanukkah. Did you light outside this year or did you light inside this year, right? You could have seen such a thing happening if it's just based on the weather. Well, Hanukkah's early this year. It's not so cold yet. Great. Okay, so light outdoors. And maybe it's easier to have a consistent thing. Fascinating, yes. But you could have imagined such a thing happening that the weather would either preclude or enable you to light outdoors. But yeah, weather is certainly plays a factor, even as early as the Rishon, and the Ritva speaks about a strong wind. So the Rama has a funny line over here. He says, nowadays, Bisman is, you know, whatever, 1500s, Krakow. He says, everyone lights inside, and nobody outside will see your menorah. He says, don't worry so much about lighting it by the doorway anymore. Meaning the whole idea of the doorway was if you were lighting outside. If you're lighting outside, you light by the doorway. But once you light inside, the doorway is less of a factor. But then, ironically, then the same Ramah, the next word, says, but the minhag still is to light by the doorway, unless it's very impractical. It's like a funny thing. So I know one person in the world who does this. They light indoors, and instead of lighting by the window, they light by the doorway. Anyone know anyone who does that? Right? It's very, very strange. Right? But it's in the Ramah. I can understand where it's coming from. Right. Right, like once it became the minhag, it became like the minhag, right? So, so very good. So the Mishnah Brura jumps on that right away. And he says, although the Ramah just said that there is this like age-old minhag to light always by the doorway, says the Mishnah Brura in the name of the Magen Avraham, but if you have a window that faces the outdoors, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the public, certainly light by the window, because then you'll publicize the miracle. So that whole concept of lighting by the doorway does not apply anymore if you have the opportunity to light by a window. Fascinating. And that is, in fact, normative psak halacha. That's the opinion of Moshe Feinstein in the Shut Igros Moshe Chelik Dalet of Orachaim Simen Kuf Chaf Hey, where he's grappling with the Ramah. What does the Ramah really mean to light by the doorway? And he says, listen, the whole idea to light by the doorway originally was only to be mefarsei in the nesh, to publicize the miracle. But that's the overall riding clause, publicize the miracle. And certainly nowadays you should publicize the miracle. And there's no concept of lighting opposite the mezuzah. It was a nice thing to walk inside when you have one mezuzah on your right and you have another mitzvah on your left, whatever it is. But no, the window, the window, the window. And then he concludes his tshuva saying, since it's impossible to light outside, at least try to publicize the miracle as much as you can. V'chein ani noheg. Ramosha writes, sha'ani marlik b'chalon, hanir b'chutzla, ovrim v'shavim. I light by the window, says Ramosha Feinstein. The chay nag adoni avi hagaon is that tell. My father did the same thing. V'harbe gedole doro shlefaneno mehayom shenasa ef shalahadlik b'chutz. From the days that it became impossible to light outdoors, they lit by the window. Wow. That's it. So, I dare say, historically, when did people have windows? Right? If you think about the Ramaz houses in Krakow. All right, so it was normal. Because you're speaking about Munich, Germany. Everyone had windows that looked at the building across the street. I don't know how normal it was to have, like certainly not like a glass window or you know, something like that. So I wonder if that has, you know, the historical, you know, point of when was it normal to have a transparent window, you know, to have a window where people can see in and you can see out. I don't know how long ago that began. But Ramosha takes a very clear stand. V'chein hu nachon ledina. We light indoors by the window. Now, it should be noted that there is another side of the coin. Rav Yashuv, again, from Israel, says that lighting outdoors trumps all. Because in Israel, they have a similar question. They would say, what if I can light A, outside, or B, by the window, and if I light by the window, it will be more visible to more people. So what would you say? Based on everything we're saying now, I would have said window. But again, window was only once you trickle down the hierarchy. Rav Yashiv says, no. Outdoors was the original mitzvah. You light outdoors if you can light outdoors. And that overrides every other hiddur of the mitzvah. He says, for example, it's better to light outdoors, even if hypothetically you have to sacrifice olive oil. If you could only light outdoors, but then you have to use wax, so light outdoors with wax. Something like that. Or if you have to light outdoors, and it will mean that you can only light one candle instead of many, something like that. So always light outdoors. And this comes up where Rav Yashiv is saying, don't forget about the original law. Outdoors is the law. Again, I'm not saying everyone agrees with Rav Yashiv, and even Israeli Poskim might hold no, that it's better to light by the window. So apparently that, again, Pirsumanisa would be number one, and apparently that's not only Rav Moshe's psak, but you can argue that's the Chazon Ish's psak and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And again, there are many Poskim, even in Israel, who would disagree with Rav Yashiv, but I wanted to at least present it in the Svarim I've seen inside Rav Yashiv versus Rav Moshe. And it's fascinating because we can't forget Rav Yashiv's point that outdoors was the original Takana, and therefore you can understand why Rav Yashiv would say, if you have the opportunity to light outdoors, of course you do that. Okay. That is a little bit of a halacha. I think it's pretty straightforward. If anyone has any, again, practical questions about Hanukkah, obviously now would be the time to think about it. Certainly, you know, Shabbos guests and, you know, making sure that you light early enough. Zechum Radam Mincha early, at a minimum, make sure, you know, you give enough time to light candles in shul. By the way, we started saying B'Sein Talum Matar last night. I don't know, like, why that was so subtle. Like, I feel like I was a little nervous. I wanted to, like, blast it out to the whole world. Like, how does anyone know when to start saying B'Sein Talum Matar? I don't know. That's, like, my little shtick. Like, I think it's, like, completely underrated how dramatic of a change that is. And, like, no one knows about it. I don't know. Whatever. That's, like, my thing. Like, did this really just happen? Like, with massive change? I don't know the equator and equinoxes, you know, that's on my internal calendar. However, whatever, let's move on. So being that we just spoke about the halacha, so at least you should start to think about the halacha questions that we might have this Hanukkah about the timing or the placement or where the guests, you know, whatever. Now is a good time to start thinking about those things. But let's just expand a little bit about this concept of the window. It comes up a few times in the Parsha, and it's certainly a major theme of Hanukkah. In Hanukkah, where did we run when we were being persecuted? Into Sefer HaMakabim Veyischabu'u B'ma'arot. They hid in the caves, right? Namely, we could not light by a window, so to speak. Whatever religious practice we were experiencing was hidden from the public view, right? And it's very logical to say that the whole idea of Hanukkah is to say that we're dafka not hiding in caves anymore, right? But I'm not one to often, know, like, Hasidus, but I think Rav Moshe Weinberger quotes this every year. There's a story that Rav Moshe Weinberger said this over in the YU Kaf, and Shalashuras, and Rav Shechter was crying when Rav Moshe Weinberger was saying this Torah over. And like in the back of my mind, I always had the shtickel Torah on the back of my mind for like Chassidus Parshas Vayeshev. But the Bat Ayin, so Chassidus Shesefer, Rebbe in Tzfat. So he says the whole Yehuda and Tamar story is secretly alluding to the Derech Chassidus to Chanukah. It was around 3 months, Vayagei Yehuda, Lemor Zansa Tamar. So 3 months after Yehuda and Tamar were together, the baby was showing. So says the Bat Ayin, that the Arizal says that we know that the end of the judgment days that began on Amnoraim end when? On Chanukah. So what does 3 months represent? 3 months represents the time frame from Rosh Hashanah until Chanukah, when our real Chasima is taking place, like Ne'ilah. And in the same way, the Jews in this week's Parsha were saying, oh, look at Tamar, something bad happened in Tamar. So too, what's happening in Shemayim this time of year? The prosecuting angels are saying, look at the Jews. 3 months later, Zansa Tamar Kalascha. Your daughter-in-law Tamar, that's a reference to Knesset Israel. We are compared to a Tamar, a date. And in the same way, everyone was saying Tamar in the Torah was doing bad things by straying and acting improperly. So too, say the prosecuting angels in Shemayim, look where Klal Yisrael has fallen since Rosh Hashanah. And who's Yehuda? What letters are in the name Yehuda? Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. And Yehuda responds, yes, take her out and burn her. Namely, Hashem says, you're right, the Jews deserve to be severely punished based on how far they have strayed. And what does Tamar respond? Sherak la'ish asher elu lo anochi hara. Tamar says, it's not my fault. I'm pregnant because of this man. What are we telling Hashem? Hashem, it's not our fault. We cling to you. Do you know why it appears that we sin? It's because of the galus. We're trying to make money. We're so overwhelmed. But inside the pnimios halev, we are with you. Whatever happened to us is really from you. Tamar says, Yehuda, it's from you. And we say, Hashem, it's all really from you. Meaning, if you really look inside our neshama, we're still clinging to you. Whoa. Now, what does Tamar then say? Look at the what? The chotemet, the seal. That's an allusion to what? The shemen of Chanukah that had a special seal. And the psil is Merames and the ptilot of Ner Chanukah. And mateh is gematria of a kli. And when we light the menorah, it's just like all of those things that Tamar said to look at. Whose signet is this? Whose staff is this? That's what we're showing Hashem when we light the menorah. We're saying, look, Hashem, we're really trying to be as good as we can. We are pure on the inside. Whoa. And then what does Hashem respond? Like what Yehuda responded, Tzadka mimeni. I understand that they're really pure on the inside. And in the same way that a window is this attempt to show people on the outside what's really going on the inside. So I thought like this piece of Chassidus from the Bat Ayin, that when we light the menorah, we're saying, this is who I really am. I'm not at all ashamed to light a menorah. And even if I might not have maybe been perfect, how many Jews can say, listen, I went to Shul Rosh Hashanah, I went to Shul on Yom Kippur, and I'm also lighting menorah. I'm also lighting menorah on Chanukah, right? They're showing Hashem inside, I'm really with you the whole time. I'll tell you a great story. Last year in Chabad over here on Shilabavich, so I was given my first Chabad Shlichus. So what happened? Rav Bergstein Shlita, you know, he gave me a little box, you know, they come in these little boxes. Said, you have a colleague at work that like maybe doesn't like menorah that you could do this to? So I go to such a colleague and they show me the pictures of all the menorah candles that they lit. And they're like, well, of course I lit menorah. Like, what are you, nuts? And I go to like another colleague and I go back to Rabbi Bergstein and I give him back the menorah and I said, I failed as a Chabad shliach. I'm never going to make it. So last year was a time I failed miserably. But not because I didn't successfully give up the menorah, because they were lighting menorah. Whatever. What? Well, again, even in a yeshiva, not all the teachers, whatever. No. There are teachers on staff that are apparently really firm when it comes to Hanukkah candles. So we'll say like that. All right. Either way, whatever. I tried, whatever. And there are Bergstein's like, you do it all wrong. You have to ask them, do you know anybody who needs a menorah? And I'm like, do you know anybody? I'm like, Anyway, another window reference in the Parsha, we know that when Eishes Potiphar is trying to seduce Yosef, she grabs his clothing, and the Gemara Maseches Sota says, at that moment, Basa Dukno Shel Aviv V'Nirasalo B'Chalom. Yaakov Avinu, his image appeared to Yosef in the window, and he said, Yosef, do you know, in the future, all of your brothers' names will be written on the stones of the ephod. Do you want that your name should be erased from the Kohen Gadol's ephod? Do you not want a stone? And Yosef is able to resist the temptation after that. And I feel like that's also a big piece here. What would we do and how would we act differently if we knew people were looking at our behavior through the window? And when the halacha requires us to pick up our window shades and show the world what's going on in our homes, would we change anything? And I think that's also a big muster of Hanukkah, meaning when they hid in the caves, they hid for good reason. They had to hide the mitzvos because, unfortunately, it was a time of persecution. But how often do we hide in our homes for bad reasons, right? Where we act maybe one way outside, and then on the inside, the window shades are very much closed. The window shades are very much closed for good reason, so to speak. Oh, and if only Yaakov Avinu saw what was going on in that house, that wouldn't be good. And we should always live our lives as if the window shades were open, because we should never have anything to hide. I think with the war, since Simchas Torah all the way to Hanukkah, we have seen the lifting of so many window shades. So many curtains have gone up. For the bad, we know that one, unfortunately. So many people who we thought we could trust, we could not. So many people who we thought were innocent are guilty, and boy, did we not know what was going on behind certain window shades of people we never would have expected to be anti-Israel or anti-Semitic. But there's a much brighter side of that story as well. Little did we believe in our fellow Jews that once there was a Eis Tzara that would take on more Shabbos observance, more mitzvos like tzitzis, hafresh haschala, covering their hair, and how beautiful it is that more members of Klal Yisrael can lift their window shades and show the rest of the world how proud they are to keep maybe more mitzvahs than we thought they would be able to keep. So we should all be zochet to have nothing to hide and be proud to lift the window shades this Chanukah and show the world that we are so proud to keep the mitzvahs and never have any. We should never have any reason to be anything less than transparent. Have a wonderful Freilichen Chanukah.